Welcome to episode 563 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, and Anna. Today, we're setting sail on an exciting journey as we dive into something truly spectacular that's a brand new on the high seas. You might have heard whispers, seen some incredible images, but we're going to pull back the curtain and talk about the all-new, jaw-dropping Star of the Seas from Royal Caribbean. Recently, Elizabeth and several other Outlander advisors were invited to preview the sailing so that we could see it all firsthand. Elizabeth is here to share with her experiences and to get ready to explore what makes this ship not just a vessel, but a destination in and of itself. So let's get started.
Yay! So I will go ahead and tell you that I am actually a fan of Icon Class, and this is the newest Icon Class ship. So I thought I would like it. I love the Icon Class ships. It's probably my favorite of the big ships. I used to be a huge Oasis fan, Oasis Class, and I still am a bit of one, but I feel like Icon is just like much more of what I'm looking for in with a large ship. And a lot of that is because of the neighborhood. So I know, Anna, you were on Icon.
Yes.
Sandy or Donna, have you tried Icon yet?
No, I have not been on an Icon Class.
Okay. One of my favorite things about it are the neighborhoods. And I think Oasis Class also has this, but I feel like the neighborhood concept on Icon and on therefore on Star of the Seas is better. They have done a really good job of making each section very much its own section to where you almost feel like that section is a ship in itself. And then you go to another section and it's almost the ship within a ship, but there's like seven ships within a ship. And so it's not necessarily exclusive unless you're in the suites, but it is, it takes the fact that there's 7,400 people on this ship and it really brings that number down in what it seems like, if that makes sense. It seems a lot less crowded. A lot of that too is because one of the neighborhoods is Surfside, which is where all the little kids will want to go. It's where the Adventures Club is. It's where the splash area is and where the Ultimate Family Townhouse empties out into. And so honestly, you could, in theory, go your entire cruise without ever going to Surfside, and you would probably see far less children that way. Even, you know, I won't say you won't see any, but I assure you that I opened those doors to go to Surfside and I was like, oh, here they all are.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
So another line, I'm not going to mention any names, has a section of the ship that is all decor in a theme, kind of like that. But it's not only just the area, but it's also the rooms. So are the rooms in Surfside also themed?
Well, yes. I don't know how themed you want to put it, but I would say that they definitely are catering to that audience. So the Surfside family suites are the ones that overlook the Surfside area. And they actually have like a couple of little separate rooms. I hesitate to call them rooms because they're more like alcoves, but one has a sofa bed in it that the kids can sleep on. So it's their little bedroom, if you will. And then actually on Icon, and they have these on Star as well, Anna and I stayed in one of the family, Surfside family rooms that basically is, when you walk in, there's bunk beds to the left, and then there's a split bathroom on the right, and then beyond that is the mom and dad's bedroom, but there's also a couch there. So you could, you know, sleep up to six in there.
And I will say the bunk beds are actually comfortable because I slept in one.
Yep, but I mean, you maybe the hallways, is it, I mean, so you know, you're in the Surfside section of the ship.
Mm-mm, okay. No, mm-mm, no. And that's where it's like, it's not necessarily like our room, the family, the Surfside family room, which also had an infinite balcony, by the way, which made the room even bigger. It had a surfboard in it, you know, so it was sort of a decorative surfboard, not one that you could take with you to the pool or anything.
Gotcha.
And so you get that sort of Surfside idea, but it isn't like Disney theming. You know, it's not like
it's not really obnoxious. Strong.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's very clean. Yeah. Very. I can't think of the word I'm trying to use, but yeah.
I would say
it's very subtle.
Sunny. Yeah. Yeah. It looks sunny. It looks warm and, you know, beachy, but it's not like there's not starfish
over the
everywhere.
Top.
And, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you said it has a splash pad, but not a pool. Is that right?
The Surfside area has a splash play area, but there's no pool. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
so it's kind of like small kids.
Little kids. Yeah. But I mean, it depends on your kids too, because I certainly saw 8 to 10 year olds there too. But the idea is that, honestly, it was a really fun looking splash area. So I do think that it'll attract some of those sort of early school age children too. The tweens will probably be over it, but anything below that, younger than that, would probably find it fun. I mean, I found myself going, oh, that really looks fun.
So, yeah, I did read that it they try to cater it. And I think specifically for Star, this was when I was kind of just like reading up on Star a little bit, because I've not been on that ship yet. But they really gear it like to kids up to age 10. So I really think that that's kind of where they're thinking the cap's going to be is 10. Because let's be honest, over 10 years old, you want to be in the pool. You don't really want to maybe the kiddie splash pad it, and you know, but
yeah,
it's a really neat area though. It's really cool.
And the fact that it's kind of got actually, Stacy was with us and she was like, it feels a little bit like, at Epic Universe, the Mario Land, where you come in on the second floor and then there's like an interesting staircase to go down. And so it gives it these layers, but that staircase that goes down is actually the entrance to the Adventurers Club. So putting the kids club in the same place as that splash zone, I think is just genius, because it sort of makes everyone with small children go to that area. It's a fun area to be in. There is a bar on Icon. We call it the Mommy and Me Bar, but where you could get like alcoholic beverages in little pouches, like Capri Sun pouches and stuff like that. So there's definitely things for grownups there. There's a casual but what's the word? Specialty dining experience called Pier 7, which is Mexican, like California Mexican food. It is casual. It's not stuffy or anything. So it'd be good to go with a family. There is a cafe there as well. And they actually serve breakfast there in the morning. It's sort of a smaller buffet than the big buffet. So that's sort of my hidden gem for you, is if you want a quieter breakfast, that's a great time to go to Surfside, because the kids aren't up and playing quite yet. And it's kind of like the Central Park Cafe, which they still have the Park Cafe. But it's a little bit more of hot food. And like, it reminds me a little bit of a hotel buffet, a good hotel buffet. It's that small as opposed to the big one upstairs. And it's at the back of the ship too. So there's really no reason to go there. And then they've moved Playmakers, to be closer to the ice rink. And so you don't even like the sports bar isn't in the middle of that, which is where it would be on an Oasis class ship, but on the Oasis class ship, that's the boardwalk. So it's intended for sort of all ages. The Aqua Theater is back there too. And by removing those attractions from that back area, and just leaving it there for the kids stuff, it feels like there's more kids stuff and it feels much more catered to them as well. So that if you do want to go watch the game, you're not, you know, you don't have the carousel horses in the background and all that.
Cool. That's what I was going to ask. I thought it was where the Aqua Theater would be on an Oasis class.
It is.
Can you talk about what they've done with the Aqua Theater on this class of ship?
Yeah, it's the Aqua Dome, and it's like the Aqua Theater on steroids. So it is indoors. It's in a dome. And interestingly, the theater is surrounded by a couple of bars, a couple of specialty restaurants, and a casual cafe. They really have embraced the cafe idea here, where you can just sort of grab and go instead of drawing everybody up to the buffet all day long. They have different types of, so it's still kind of, it's kind of, you know, little food stations that are themed. One was barbecue, one was Mediterranean. One was Mexican. It was really like tacos. So like foods like that, sort of street foods almost, if you will. It's open almost all day long. So it's yet another casual, but right around the Aqua Theater, it's the Aqua Dome. And so there's seating pretty much around three sides of it. Like in the Aqua Theater, it's more like 2/3. And this goes a little bit further where it's like 3/4 of it, because so you can be almost right beside the edge of the stage. So think of the aqua theater stage, which is a half circle, right? And then the divers up above. So you could literally be sitting right next to the side of that stage, which on at the aqua theater on the Oasis class ships, you can't get that far over. Like the furthest over you could sit is, you know, about, I don't know, 10 degrees in from the,
right,
from the straight edge of the semicircle. Sorry, that was a lot of math.
No, I'm trying to picture then, two-thirds is bigger than 3/4. And
yeah, okay, so the other way around. So it was a lot of bad math. I was thinking that in my head. I was like, wait, did I say that wrong? Yeah, anyway, then there's standing room as well all the way around that side too. So if you don't get a seat, you have someplace to stand, whereas with Aqua Theater, you have to stand like at the back. There are places that overlook the Aquadome, but it's not like, on the Oasis class where there's lots of suites there. The restaurant for the suites is actually has windows, like full size windows. So you could watch the Aqua Theater show from that restaurant/lounge.
But no real like cabins where you could watch it from your cabin.
No, not really.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe some of the suites could see it, but I doubt it. I don't think so. And so then they can, with the dome, they can actually turn it into a opaque screen so that they can put images up on the dome as well. So it adds an element to the story. The show on this ship is called Torque. It's very 90s music, and a lot of it is car themed. And I'm going to tell you, I never thought I would see the day when I would hear a Cake song on a cruise ship. There was. So now I feel really old. Cake is an oldie, but it starts with Going the Distance. So probably with the most accessible Cake song, but still it's Cake. So lots of motors and themes like that. And then there is a dome that they can do BMX biking in and everything. That was not operational yet.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah, the bikes and the bikers are on board, but they haven't. Like it was still technically not working. I don't know if it is now, but in the preview it wasn't. So
that sounds cool. Crazy.
Super cool.
That's super really cool. I love to watch the BMX bikes. I think that's really cool.
Does this make them less susceptible to canceling because of weather then? I mean, I understand.
I don't think so because they're rocking. Yeah. Cause I would say that they certainly won't cancel just for rain. But if the seas are rough, it's still going to have that same effect with the pool. So, and by that same effect, I'll say it's when the water is splashing outside of the pool, they can't safely dive into that water. So, and that can happen if it's really rocking. So just in case you're wondering what I meant by that, that's what I mean. Mm-hmm. But the Aquadome area is a neighborhood, like it's considered a neighborhood, and there's things to do in that area other than just that theater. So it's sort of, if you will, multi-purpose. I don't think they do any other shows there, but they could, you know, that's where they had the naming ceremony because it, you know, they can raise the pool floor up to where it's a flat stage. So it does help in that sort of situation. So I suppose it is possible that if you had a meeting or something on board, you would be able to use it. They were running rehearsals pretty much constantly while I was there because it is such a technically difficult show. And, you know, they don't get to actually be in the Aquadome until they're in the Aquadome. There's only so much they can do off the ship as far as rehearsals go. So there was a lot of technical rehearsal going on.
Yeah.
I love to watch the rehearsal when I was on, I forget what ship, I was one of the Oasis ones, and during the day they were just out there on the slack line and jumping around. And really cool.
Same. Awesome. But then some of the other, you know, there's a thrill zone, thrill island and chill island. And that corresponds to the Thrill Island and Chill Island on Coco Key. So it sort of has this consistent branding, but the Thrill Island is where the rock wall is and where the Crown's Edge, which is the sort of ropes course zip line thing where you can like,
did you do that, line. Elizabeth?
No, I did not. Once again, I passed.
You passed.
I did notice there's a casual eatery up there that on the icon was going to be a separate charge, and it's now complimentary, which I was really glad to see because it's like hot dogs and tater tots and things like that. And I imagine that you know, my kids would have like raised a fit if I had said that they couldn't have stuff like that. And so, yeah. that's up there by the bar there. And then back behind that is Hideaway, which is an adult only section with an infinity pool. And I'm just going to go on record to say that I did not spend any time there because you can look over the edge and see the pool. And there were 800 people in it and the water was kind of murky. And I'm like, I can't. Yeah. So I don't know that every sailing will be like that, but I just couldn't do it. But there's plenty of pools, plenty of deck chairs, plenty of places, you know, little areas to hang out in. So I just felt like everything being divided up that way actually made it into a much more pleasant experience.
Yeah.
They sort of zhuzh up Central Park a little bit by adding the Supper Club, which is the, there's one on Icon as well. It's Lincoln Park on this one, not Lincoln Park like cake, but Lincoln Park like Lincoln Park. Like,
wow.
And, and then the other one is called Empire Supper Club. So sort of that whole idea of a old speakeasy jazz club, supper club kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It also wasn't operating while I was on board for the preview. They were saving it for revenue sailings, but I got to walk around in it. It's very small, very intimate. And I'm hearing great things about it from the people who are able to experience it now. And that's right at the end of Central Park. So it's sort of this like, Central Park is kind of a New York idea, and this feels like sort of a cosmopolitan New York idea, and it sort of just brings that in. And there's the high-end shops are there, and the, you know, the designer shops, and then there is a cafe, and then a couple of bars, and the steakhouse chops is there as well. So just and Izumi is there too, I think, if I'm not confusing my ships. So it's very, I don't know. It takes what is already quiet and peaceful and classy and just zhuzhes it up a little bit. It doesn't make it any louder to have those things, but it's sort of like, that's where you're going for your night out or your, you know, your stroll or your, yeah. So
dressing up.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was going to say.
So while you're thinking, I will touch on Chill Island. The first swim up bar at sea was on Icon. It's called Swim and Tonic. And originally they were not doing a good job of keeping kids out of that pool and it was overrun. And so they heard the feedback and they have made this adult only. So now the swim are both on Icon and on Star of the Seas are adult only, which is good because it's not a very big swim bar. And if you had kids splashing around in it, you know, you drink in seawater in your drinks and it is adult only.
That's good to know.
I like that.
Yes.
Oh, I know what I was going to ask. Talk about, did you have time to see all the shows on board?
I had time to see several of the shows. So I did see Torque. I did see Soul, which is the SOL, which is the ice show, which is probably my favorite of all the ice shows. They've just been getting better and better with them. I think they really are listening to the feedback and understanding that people don't need art. They need entertainment, but ice skating is art. So, you know, so they're making a really good attempt to bring those two things together.
So it's not like some random story that you can't understand what's going on.
It's all sort of themed around sunshine, sun, soul.
That's easy.
So there's like a Miami Beach section where they do like Miami kind of vibe stuff. There's the Beatles, I think, make an appearance with Here Comes the Sun. Like there's different things about heat and sun and warmth and stuff like that, which for an ice show is sort of an interesting concept, but definitely, it was definitely fun to watch. I certainly enjoyed it. And then the Broadway show that's on this ship is Back to the Future.
And how was that?
I did not watch it.
You didn't? Okay.
This is going to sound snobby and I don't mean for it to. I have zero interest in seeing that as a musical. I hear it's not too bad, but
another one of our agents enjoyed it. So I guess it's really just whatever.
Yes,
that's what I was going to ask. Did Robin see it? Because I know she saw that.
I do think Robin saw
it. I spoke to Mike and Kristen.
Yeah,
but they were both, and they enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I think Stacy opted out as well. We just had so much going on, and we were signed up for the matinee for that, and I hadn't seen all the cabins yet, so I was sort of in that, you know, I need to do the cabin work and not sit in the theater for 2 hours in the middle of the afternoon. The weather was super nice, and you know, I just felt like that wasn't a good way to experience the ship. Yeah. So, but that's just me. And again, I have so much opportunity to see theater that I don't feel like I have to see every show. But I did hear it was very good. Definitely some great special effects. And everyone loves the story. They did do a number from, they did The Power of Love. During the coffee talk that they do a program called Common Ground where they have the executives.
You get a little snippet.
Yeah. And so you get that. They did that one song for us and it was great.
Okay.
Yeah. It was great.
So you got to taste it. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And that's when I got to see Sailor too. I'm still pretty convinced that Michael Bailey is going to take Sailor home with him, but
he's obsessed with that dog. That dog loves him.
Touch a puppy and take a puppy home and sleep with a puppy, and you know, like, yeah, that's your dog.
Yeah, he's talking a good game, but I mean, Sailor seems very happy on board, but I'm not sure that Bailey's gotten off the ship yet. So we'll see. Yeah, it's Sailor is adorable, and I didn't get to get any closer to her than when she came in for that presentation. But I'm telling you, she is such a puppy too. She's got that like puppy face where she she's like 9 months old now, I think, and she is just like happy to be alive. She's
that's a golden for you. But, yeah. Such good dogs.
Oh, yeah,
so cute.
I just love. I love that they have the dog on board.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that they're doing that. I think it's so cute.
Yeah. And I think some people worry that, you know, that having a dog on board with so many people is a bad idea, but really the dog is there for the crew, and makes very few guest appearances. So you can, as a guest, interact with Sailor, but Sailor is really there for the team, for the employees to,
I mean, you really just don't see her.
Yeah.
Or him, or
this one's a her. Actually, that's they're both.
Her.
They're both girls.
They're both girls, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rover and Sailor. Yeah.
Okay, that's right.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then this ship has the piano bar on it, which is what's on the icon as well. Definitely a really top attraction. Who would think that we'd still be talking about piano bars? You know, I felt like the heyday.
About the dueling piano.
Yeah, the dueling pianos. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we did that I think we did on that. On Icon several times.
On Icon, yeah.
Several times. It was so much fun.
It is so much fun. Yeah, nice. So much fun.
Well, it mixes karaoke and comedy
and dancing along.
So it's, you know, it's good so for a wide range of audiences.
It really is.
Indeed. Actually, I was laughing because, you know, Piano Man is such an old song and it's played so many times. Every piano bar or dueling pianos thing you go in, it's always requested. And you wonder how people still love it as much as they do. And I was just watching the Billy Joel documentary that was on HBO called And So It Goes.
Oh, it was very good.
It's so good. And Pink was one of the people that they interviewed. And she was like, the thing about that song is it doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, where you're from. If the first notes of that Piano Man start, that's what you're doing for the next 5 minutes and 50 seconds. Like, there's no, you can't just walk by it. That's what you're doing. And it's true. It just brings people together in such a way. It's just one of the world's best songs. So, but it's not just the Piano Man. I mean, she played Metallica, actually. That was, she played Enter Sandman, which was pretty impressive.
That's impressive.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So, there's always, they always do something. The guy, it did some beatboxing that was really outstanding as well. So just really, really, yeah, a really fun night out. I'm glad I got to do that because we only had 3 nights, so you had to pick and choose your bars carefully.
Yeah. I see they have boleros. That's cool. I remember one of the previews, they had a lot of people from Miami who were Royal Caribbean employees, and they were dancing in that bar like, oh my God. I was like, why do I not know Latin dancing? Why don't I know how to know, right? Do they have the tiki bar on this one?
The Pesky Parrot?
Yeah.
No, I think that's going on Oasis class only.
Okay.
So far. And they're that's what some of the updates to some of the Oasis class ships are. They're taking out the robot bar and putting in
Bionic Pesky bar? Parrot. Yeah. Do they have the one that goes between the decks?
No, that's Oasis class.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a little bit different, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has the schooner bar, which is my favorite bar always. Same menu that's on all the other ships. So it's that's very fun, and there is a piano in there. So you know they do sort of low key piano stuff in there. And then really a lot of it is the usual suspects. The main dining room. I ate in the main dining room all three dinners, and it was fine. It's good. It's not. I always think the specialty restaurants on Royal Caribbean are better than the main dining, but you know, I'm a food nerd and not everybody.
That's kind of how it is though.
Yeah. But I will say I didn't feel like every meal was 3 hours long, which sometimes can happen on a cruise. I felt like mm-hmm. The service was good and we moved through it pretty easily. So,
yeah.
So that was nice.
That's good. I don't even want to go to the main dining room because I don't want to take that much time away from what I'm doing, which is why I like what you said about how they have the grab and go stuff. I think that's a really good option.
Yeah. And there's tables. So it's not like you don't have to just grab it and go. You can sit. And I mean, there's also the taco place that, you know, was it called? Something Fresca or something that's out at the pool deck and with Mexican food almost all day long. I mean, there were so many choices. You are not going to get hungry on this ship. Mm-hmm. Not all the restaurants are open all the time, but most of the casual like grab and go restaurants are.
Yeah. That's good. Cause it gives you more options than if you're not a buffet person. Like I know you're not particularly a buffet person. So.
But, and also timing wise, like you may not be ready to eat until 2 o'clock. And so you have things to do. I've been on some ships, you know, recently, especially some of the smaller ships, where things close down and there's going to be periods of time where you have no food. Traveling with Marcus, it becomes very obvious because, you know, my 19-year-old boy needs to eat all the time. And he's like, there's no food on this ship between 10 p.m. and midnight. I'm like,
I live with one of those. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorrento's. I can't tell you how many times he would go to Sorrento's for a very late night plate full of pizza that he would grab and bring back to the cabin.
Yep. And there is a Sorrento's on board, so that was very
good. But that one's open really late.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and fairly early. I mean, for pizza, it opens at like 10:30 or something, maybe 11, but it feels like it's open all the time. So, yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, as far as this ship goes, it is sort of ideal for a multi-generational trip or a trip with a group where you got all different ages because there's just so much for everybody, but there's places where you are also separated from everybody. So you can, you know, you can do grown-up things and you can do, there were more kids on this preview than I usually see on a preview cruise. I think it's just because of the nature of the way this ship actually wasn't supposed to come out for another 2 weeks after it actually came out. So they kept pushing the event back in time. Little Back to the Future reference there. So I feel like there were people, they were able to put different people, a different mix of people on this preview sailing. It wasn't the naming ceremony cruise, which that's usually the one that I attend. And I don't know if you guys heard, but the original Godmother of the Seas, Diana Ross, backed out a week before the naming ceremony. So they had to scramble. But I do think they did great. And I cannot pronounce her name. It's it is a Latin name, I believe. But she's a astronaut and has been to space and back. I think it's perfect for Star of the Seas. I think it's a really...
I love that like fits.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then they did a cute promo where they had all the different staff members sort of going ready for launch, you know, like they were doing sort of a launch takeoff thing. And it's out of Cape Canaveral, too. I mean, like, why didn't they think of this to begin with?
Right. That seems like to me, that's a better fit than Diana Ross.
Yeah. Diana Ross is absolutely a star.
And I mean, she's phenomenal, but I don't know. This just, this one really just fits. I like it.
Yep.
Yeah,
for sure. So, and she was delighted to be chosen. So,
well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because we'd love to hear from you. So, on behalf of Elizabeth, Sandy, Anna, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.